Have you been scared safe yet? Been watching images of Hurricane Florence hitting the Carolinas? Today we sit down with HPR's Wayne Yoshioka to talk disaster fatigue.
Disaster fatigue. That's the result of being just inundated with messages of impending disaster. It all started on January 13th with our false missile alert posted on our smartphones. This is not a test. We are under attack. Then this summer, we have Hurricane Lane in August. You know, it's the it dropped 52 inches of total rainfall on the Big Island in Maui. And, you know, it just was the second Category 5 hurricane to pass close to South Point. And then September, Hurricane Olivia, Category 1, enters the Central Pacific, then weakens to a tropical storm. And yesterday, the Nu'uanu Reservoir number one scare of dam failure and possible evacuation of 10,000 residents downstream. You know, we are all subjected to doomsday messages, the worst case scenarios, and things like phrases like an abundance of caution, err on the side of caution, better to be safe than sorry, or prepare for the worst and pray for the best. And you just get tired of being inundated for 5 days during a hurricane warning watch. I mean, it's just tiring.
And you were at that news conference yesterday with the city, and you can actually speak from two different sides because besides a reporter, you've also worn the hat as a spokesman for civil defense way back when.
I was the public information officer for Hurricane Iniki, and you and I were reporting after Hurricane Eva in 1982. And, you know, I think the government and all of us, we all need to step back and look at how we prepare for disasters and probably do it on a phased approach. Take the hints from the, you know, Central Pacific Hurricane Center or the National Weather Service and do a phase one. Okay, this is when you fill your propane tanks, fill your water and your bathtub with water. Phase two, okay, it's getting close. Get your household members in the house. And number three, maybe, here we are, the disaster is hit. Get in the bathtubs, empty that water out of the bathtubs, get in that bathtub for safety, you know, and just have a phase line approach just to add order to all this chaos.
I know yesterday when I was out talking to the residents, they were like, what? You know, where is this one? Which reservoir is it? And they were kind of scratching their head saying, you know, I've lived here in the valley all my life. My parents lived here. We never had anything like this before.
And it was created in 1905. And, you know, they have a stream that goes by them, but it's just a trickle of water. And that's because it's all being stored up at this reservoir. And so, you know, if you took a phase line approach, they started to, empty the dam maybe 3 days ago. So if they came out with an announcement, okay, as an abundance of caution, we're going to start, pumping out the water just in case, and then have this phase line approach. And if there is an evacuation, then that should be the last result of all this planning.
I know when we were talking to the state engineer, she was saying, oh, yeah, I've been monitoring the levels, you know, for I think it was even for Lane. And that was good to know. It was reassuring. But it was kind of like, yeah, I would have liked to have known that back then, that, hey, guys, we're keeping an eye out on the water levels, just so you know.
And DLNR has electronic monitoring devices. So they're not like, you know, they have to go there and look at the water itself. So they've got all these safety precautions. They just need to keep the residents informed of what they're doing as opposed to having a panic attack all of a sudden when they say, oh, wow, we've got more rain coming and let's start this evacuation protocol.
Yeah, well, I know they didn't say let's start the evacuation, but when we saw that press release at 10 a.m., it was like, what? You know, so even members of the media were like, well, what does this mean exactly? So we were glad they were able to clarify that quickly with that news conference at 12:30.
On the one hand, you're glad that they have a plan. But on the other hand, you wish that they would do it in a phased approach where, you know, you'd have a warning as opposed to just, oh, here we are, get out of there. You know, that's what they need to do. And we all need to sit down and do that.
Now, everybody knows now, I think after yesterday, if there's a dam upstream or maybe a big water tank or something, at least you need to be cognizant of it and think about what could this mean. And if I had to move quickly and leave my house, you know, what then?
True. And I mean, not only big bodies of water, But there are a lot of things that are hazardous. And during a storm, you just don't know if it's going to be a landslide, a rock's going to come down to you know, in your backyard. So all of those things you should be cognizant of and just have the situational awareness of where you are and what kind of hazards are in your environment.
Right. So you may have your 2 weeks or more of food and water, but if you have, let's say, a fire breathing down your back like we saw in Maui and you have to leave all that stuff behind, you got to move quickly.
Or you have a volcanic eruption and all of a sudden, yeah, you got to leave. So all of these things, I guess, I know the government is not going to pull back and say, you know, we're not going to do our jobs, but they're responsible for your safety and for your health. And so they're going to push forward with the worst case scenario just because, you know, that's their job. But there's still going to be a lot of people who don't have access to computers, don't have a smartphone, are hearing or visually impaired. So they're always going to have to, there's no 100% solution on trying to get the word out. So I guess disaster fatigue is something that, you know, this is the world we live in.
Right. We've got to be prepared and hopefully get a break in the next couple of weeks, maybe recharge your batteries.
Yeah. And there's always something good to remember. And this was told to me when I was a young person. You know, all the anxiety and angst you feel when a disaster is approaching is nothing compared to the anguish and despair you'll feel when that disaster hits. So, you know, anxiety, angst, disaster fatigue, it's probably a small price to pay when you consider the alternative.
That's true. You're absolutely right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking with HPR's Wayne Yoshioka. You can find his reports online at hawaiipublicradio.org.